This is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, and as you may have guessed, the show right now is not Kittens vs. Godzilla. Unfortunately, those three couldn't make it this week, and so I am subbing for them. My name is Colin Marshall. You may know me as the host of a couple of different shows over the years. Right now, the Marketplace of Ideas, an interview show every Thursday from noon until 1 p.m. And Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, that is every Tuesday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. I've also done shows like Sound Forum and the Collins Bachelor Pad and a bunch of other stuff. Been here at KCSB a while. But you know, if you yourself are much of a KCSB listener, and I'm sure you are, if you've tuned in on this bright, sunny sort of Saturday afternoon, you must be at least a semi-hardcore KCSBer. You know that subbing is a fairly common thing here on the station, and that because of that, you get even more than the usual amount of surprises. And there already are quite a few on KCSB than you'd expect. Because, of course, when subbing happens, you often get something a little similar, sometimes, to what the show being subbed is. Sometimes it's completely different, and I find that those are some of the best times to be listening, because I tune into one show, or I tune in expecting one show, and my mind gets in a certain sort of groove. I've pre-put it there, you know, I'm already in the mood for whatever show I'm going to tune into. Then something else starts up, and I approach it with the mindset of the first show, the one that's being subbed, the one I'm not going to hear that week. And it's an interesting kind of psychological interaction. I think a lot about this issue of how cultural products kind of interact, form a feedback loop with the mind of the audience, receiving them and parsing them and trying to process them. And what's intriguing to me most are the times that expectations aren't quite met, but in an interesting way, in a good way. You know, I think a lot of your marketing classes would tell you that, oh, expectations should be met, or else, you know, you're not going to stay in business long, or, you know, you should exceed them, but just do what the expectations are, but more so. But no, I find it even more fascinating when, you know, something just completely out of the blue comes along and mixes with my expectations of the hip-hop I was going to hear, or the blues I was going to hear, or the jazz I was going to hear, and I just approach this stuff I might not have even tuned into at all in the first place in a completely different frame of mind than it really advisably should be approached. And that has led to some truly fascinating radio experiences, the kind you can only get here on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. Doing here? What am I doing right now? Well, I'm subbing Kittens vs. Godzilla with the show that I always do when I sub. It's a show called Conceptual Radio. Perhaps you've heard of it. It is so conceptual, so unusual, that it cannot be on the schedule. No. It only appears, it only exists at certain random times when the stars align, when someone needs a sub, when I'm available, when I am in the right... when I'm in the right mood to do conceptual radio, when everything is all put in exactly the right kind of setup, like a domino line, then conceptual radio exists. What is conceptual radio? That is a little harder to say, because it's my feeling that radio, it's a medium that has so much potential. But maybe that potential is not always fully realized. Bear with me here, because I know you're tuned into KCSB already. You are prepared for pretty much any use of radio anybody could ever think of. But think about radio at large. You know, you kind of hear the same stuff on it. when you're scanning across the dial, you hear a lot of music. You hear a lot of songs being played. You hear announcement of the song titles. You hear, what else do you hear? You hear contests. You hear talk radio. Oh boy, and that's its own beast, but one with a very specific kind of sensibility. Yes, you hear a lot of this stuff, and you might think to yourself, if you're something like me, that, you know, a little more can be done with that. Radio doesn't need to be, there's nothing in its actual physical, mechanical properties that says it needs to be this way, necessarily, that it needs to be constricted to these handful of formats, you know? There's a suspicion maybe you've felt, and I've felt it a lot, that it can be something different as well. It can be a lot of different things, in fact. Interested in the lost art of, if it ever was a found art, of radio art, you know, of audio collage in a sense, of going a little beyond the boundaries that are established in what can be done with any given form. You know, this is as true for me of film, of television, of text, of novels, as it is for radio. But radio seems to suffer from the problem worse than other forms in that it's the habits of mind and the habits of formatting that have been kind of ground in there over the decades are so much stronger in radio. You know, there's not a lot of experimentation, you might say. Even in the more experimental side of radio, it adheres very closely to surprisingly closely to the norms. And I think about that a lot. A subject that I'm almost constantly wondering about, you know. I barely sleep. I'm just so busy thinking about why radio adheres so much to the way it's always been. Think about the subject because as you may know, I do write the official is not a word to be using in this context because there's all kinds of rules about this. So let me back up and rephrase, because I do write the column about KCSB for the Santa Barbara Independent. It's called the KCS Beat, and that is available on their website, on the Independent's website, the complete archives of the KCS Beat dealing with the past, present, future of KCSB. There was an 8-part series I did there on the history of the station and a lot of stuff on the current shows, a lot of profiles of current programmers. And so needless to say, I've been thinking a lot about the different ways radio can be, the different things that can be done with radio, because my goal with that has been to highlight whether it's in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, or right now in the 2010s, or, you know, planned in the future, or technologically what's going to be possible, whether in any part of the time-space continuum, what has been done that's been the most interesting here at KCSB, or what's going on that is the most interesting. That's the kind of thing that I want to highlight, and in some ways, the kind of thing that I want to do as well. And at the moment, you know, conceptual radio going on right this second, that's what I want to do right this second. What we're hearing right now is an interesting sort of... the product of an interesting phenomenon in the KCSB Music Library. Because for those of you who've never been in here in KCSB, or for those of you who don't listen quite closely enough to know what it's like here, because I know the DJs do often talk about it, there is a music library here in the station. It's right behind the control room where I'm sitting right now, talking into the mic, and it's got just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of vinyl albums. It's got a lot of CDs too, but I spend most of my time in the vinyl because that's where the oddities are. That's where the real strange stuff is, you know? The CDs have a lot of normal music. They've got a lot of strange things too, no doubt. And I've found CDs there that I've used on the air, and they've been great, but it's the vinyl where you get the real finds. And I've been writing some KCS Beat columns about this recently. I did two so far. One, searching for sort of international selections from there, Japanese jazz, Brian Eno's Portsmouth Sinfonia of untrained orchestra members playing only the most famous parts of classical pieces. And geez, what else did I use in there? I believe an album of Pakistani folk singers released on Nonesuch in the early 70s or maybe late 60s. Did another column on classical music because I notice there are no classical shows on KCSB's schedule right now. I mean, there's shows that play classical, but there's no shows that are specifically classical music. And that's a little bit of a shame because I just know for a fact that going around Santa Barbara right now are some serious classical music heads, some serious aficionados who live and breathe the stuff and have a lot to say, have a lot of opinions, and have a lot on their shelves that they need to get out there into the public, that they need to share. And I think the world would benefit if those people had KCSB shows, and they could get them, because anybody can get one if they're willing to put in some 4 to 6 a.m. time slots. But in any case, those were the subjects of my first two columns about the music library for the KCSB. Where am I going with this? Well, by way of telling you what you're hearing now, it is an anthology of Canadian music. And if I want to read the other title on here, it's, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Anthologie de la Musique Canadienne. Of course, the dual linguistic titlings tells you right now that it is a CBC production. Why is this weird? Why is this evidence of a weird phenomenon? I mean, that's kind of just the policy there in Canada, isn't it? Well, because if you explore this music library, you can find... I guess there must have been some deals set up, or there were some exchanges, or maybe some foreign countries saw KCSB as their entree into the American music scene. But you can find a lot of this stuff, a whole lot of vinyl albums sent out by the official national radio station of the Netherlands. All this classical music with these sort of high modernist covers sent out by Radio Nederland. And as well with the CBC, you see this stuff from the 60s, 70s, early 80s. This is from 82 specifically. The composer is Jean Papineau Couture. You can see that they sent a lot of stuff here to KCSB. CBC, I believe, did have some kind of arrangement. KCSB played a lot of CBC's stuff starting in the 60s, actually, and going on through, I imagine, at least the 80s, but it's a treasure trove of this sort of thing. You know, I consider myself to be a fan of foreign radio. I tune into foreign stations fairly often on my computer because, you know, in this golden technological age, you can stream from anywhere and at any time as well. And it's interesting, especially when it's in a foreign language, because they're playing music, sure. Usually they're playing music, but when you don't understand the language, that itself becomes a form not of necessarily music, but of musical sound, in the sense that you don't really parse it as words. You don't parse it as communication in a verbal sense. You just hear it as part of an overall sonic texture. And that kind of gets into what I want to do here today. Thank you. talk about a lost sub-art of the lost art of radio art. I know I didn't say the word art quite enough there, but bear with me. That is the art of audio collage, of using various different sources to form a unified or unified-ish sonic experience. And now that's, in essence, what a lot of radio is doing, and as well what a lot of radio here on KCSB is doing, when a DJ is combining their words between songs with the songs they're spinning. That, I guess, is, you know, technically speaking, a form of audio collage. But, as I said earlier with my broader point about radio, I always find it can be taken a little further than that, and it is a bit of a risk. It is often not for everybody, but it is a form that I think has vast potential. You know, vast, exploitable, entertaining, informative, fun potential. Potential that I see all too infrequently taken advantage of, alas. To extend audio collage is to go beyond simply the music and the voice about the music. Those are two very important things, and believe you me, there's a lot of DJs, a lot of them here, who do it extremely well, but there's more to add to the mixture. There's more ingredients to put into this, you know. I could extend this into some kind of elaborate cooking metaphor, because I enjoy that too, but you add some unexpected ingredients and you never know, you could get something really cool, but in this sort of audio collage, you have voice, you have music, you have me talking right now, you have the anthology of Canadian music, straight from the CBC of 1982. And that's good, so far so good, but there's more you can add to it. You can talk about anything, obviously. As you can hear right now, you can talk about something that has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the music you're playing. Or you can have some connection that's not, you know, immediately verbalizable. You can use voices from other sources, other spoken words, recorded spoken word, the word of others. You can use the word of the listener. And this raises a very important point, because conceptual radio has a lot to do with not just listener feedback. I don't want to call it listener feedback because that puts the listener in sort of a secondary position. No, I want the listener to be an actual part of a show like this. I want it to be a conversation. Meaning that you can't just have the listener, I can't just have the listener be somebody sitting out there in a totally receptive posture, you know, in a receptive state of mind. So, if you're a diehard KCSB listener, you know this, but I'm going to tell you now, feel free to call into the show, contribute your voice to Conceptual Radio. I'm going to be on till 6:30. The studio line here is 805-893-2424. That is 805-893-2424. And, you know, I should really give a question out. I should really give you something to respond to, given that the subject of the day so far is, I don't want to phrase this in any sense that makes it sound like there's a shortcoming to the medium, but, you know, the potential of radio. I want to ask you this. What sort of thing do you think radio is capable of? What is possible in radio? You don't hear it doing very often. What do you want to hear radio doing? What do you imagine? What do you suspect in your wildest dreams radio could be doing that it doesn't do a lot of? I want to hear that from you. The number again is 805-893-2424. There is another way, though. You could email me. I have my email open. I'm going to see it if you email me. It'll pop up. My email address is Colin J. Marshall, 1L in Colin, 2L in Marshalls. That is colinjmarshall@gmail.com. Email me an answer to my question. What do you suspect radio could do? What do you see as the potential of the radio medium that you just don't hear a lot of? You know, I want to hear, what is radio art to you? Or rather, what could radio art be to you? learned a lot of this from doing a show called Soundform I've done for occasional quarters here on KCSB, a show about where sound meets music, where the borderlands happen, you know, that territory, that no man's land between organized sound, somewhat less organized sound, what is obviously music, what is not obviously music, because I have a theory, or at least I have a theory operational for that show, that anything can be listened to as music. Anything potentially is music if you want to approach it in that manner. Once again, it's KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall, subbing for Kittens vs. Godzilla with a little program called Conceptual Radio, which I do occasionally whenever the stars align, whenever the wind blows just right, whenever the moon is in the perfect phase. Because this is the kind of show that is only possible here on KCSB. And I know this because of my intense research into KCSB, historical, present, future, and otherwise, for the KCS Beat column I do for The Independent. I'm still asking you this. Radio. A fascinating medium, an immediate medium. It's renowned for its immediacy, for its intimacy. You know, people are always talking about the intimacy of radio, always saying there's nothing more intimate than just a voice stripped completely of the visual, of every other sense, you know, just the one going right into your head. And that's fine. That's cool. That is definitely an advantage of radio, but it could be doing more. I feel like it could be more than voice about some music and music. It can go beyond that. It can be audio collage. It can be a variety of different things. So with every odd conceptual radio that pops up every so often, every few months, or, you know, weeks if we're lucky, that's what I like to figure out. In any case, the phone line here is 805-893-2424. If you have any responses to this prompt, you can mail in your blue books too, because of course there's an in-class essay component. You can mail those into KCSB at UC Santa Barbara. I forget the P.O. box number. Or you can email me. It'll pop up right here. Colin, C-O-L-I-N. No, wait. Wrong email address. Colin J. Marshall, C-O-L-I-N, J-M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, @gmail.com. I think we should go to another form of audio right now, but what's it going to be? Should I even tell you? I think I should just start it and see what happens, because it's an audio collage, you know? It's not something you should necessarily explain.
Our friend Benjamin Franklin spent his boyhood and youth until, on account of some disagreement with his brother, he left his native town and went to Philadelphia.
He should have come to Pittsburgh.
Oh, no, you're showing your ignorance, Tom Miller. Pittsburgh wasn't even heard of then. This happened more than 100 years ago. Tom Franklin was poor, just like we are. But he made good.
He wasn't a messenger boy, though.
He was a printer. That's just as bad. Printers are poorer than messengers, I know. My Uncle Angus was a printer back in Scotland.
I thought he was a weaver.
No, my father was a weaver, and he was poorer than Uncle Angus.
You know, Andy, I don't believe a young man has a chance anymore.
And why not?
Well, all these modern inventions, they're putting men out of work. We've got machines for almost everything now.
You have to have men to run the machines, don't you?
Oh, sure, but it isn't like back in Franklin's time. In those days, it was easy to get ahead.
Not any easier than it is now.
No?
No, take Franklin, for instance. Well, he was poor, and he didn't have any schooling. But Tommy had brains.
Well, everybody has brains.
Aye, but everybody doesn't know how to use them. If you're going to use your brains, you have to read, Tom. You have to study.
What if you don't have the chance?
Make the chance. Well, just like we're doing. This is Saturday afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, our day off.
Well, what are the other fellows doing on their days off?
Well, most of them go out and have a good time. Do you think reading about the life of Ben Franklin will make us successful?
No, but it'll help. Now, look at this big house. Wouldn't you like to have a house like this?
I'd like to have as much money as Colonel Anderson, the man that owns it.
Colonel Anderson's a fine man. If I had his money, I'd do just what he's doing. I'd open up my library to the whole town. Well, Tom, I'd build a public library for everybody.
Yes, you would not.
Well, I'll bet you $1 million I'd do it.
And I'll bet you 40 cents you wouldn't.
All right, Mr. Smarty, it's a bet. When I open up my library, you're going to owe me 40 cents.
I'll wait. I don't see you giving anything away now. And it wouldn't be any different if you were a millionaire. Oh, it's easy to give things away you haven't got. But if you really had a million, well, that'd be an entirely different matter.
Andrew did not long remain a messenger boy. In a few years, he was a telegraph operator for the Pennsylvania Railroad. Then he was promoted to work in the office of the superintendent. One day, while traveling from Pittsburgh to New York by train, a bright-eyed man wearing sadly wrinkled clothes plumped a green carpet bag down in the aisle beside him.
Morning, sir. Mind if I sit down beside you?
Oh, no, not at all. Plenty of room.
Thanks.
Hey, for goodness.
Yes, if you like to travel in the daytime.
I do. I can't sleep in these coaches at night. The back of the seat's too low. If
the railroad was smart, they'd put beds in their trains.
Beds in a train? take up too much room.
But the time will come when every night train will have beds in it.
Do you think so? I know it.
This is Conceptual Radio on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall here, subbing for Kittens vs. Godzilla, giving you 2 hours of pure conceptuality, just testing, kind of seeing where the borders are on what you can do with radio. And you know, I've come to suspect that it's not really limited. The borders kind of aren't there. You can do essentially what you want, which blows my mind, because as I said in my extended manifesto that started off this show, it's really surprising you see radio be so limited, as limited as it is. That story you heard just now, well, pretty obviously the story of Andrew Carnegie, right? What with the library talk and all that, and the accent on the actor as well. You know, that's... there were no Oscars for old-time radio, but surely they could have taken home a few, right? That was from a series called Captains of Industry, an old-time radio program from 1937. A whole bunch of biographies of, yes, Captains of Industry. I don't know why I feel that fits into our audio collage tonight, but it does. You know, it's nice to go back to the old-time radio well, because... Well, for me, number one, it's what got me into radio in the first place. Without old-time radio, I never would have gotten interested in new-time radio, never would have gotten into creating programs for the present-day radio, because what's on the radio, or what was on the radio when I was a kid, available to me growing up in the Pacific Northwest in the 90s, it wasn't all that inspiring, I gotta say, again, to touch back onto the points of my earlier screed, you know? Wasn't much going on. Lots of pre-programmed selector is the application they use. Lots of pre-programmed selector playlists and a lot of contests where you could win hats. Lots of hats and water bottles being given out at auto shows and things like that. But the old-time radio world, a lot of stuff going on there. And there were a lot of tapes for sale in those days. You know, I would have... As a kid, my mind would have been blown to realize today you can just pull up this stuff on the internet. And you can play it, you know, even for your radio audience on KCSB. And not only were there these dramatized stories of Captains of Industry, but just all kinds of stuff, all kinds of very inventive stuff as far as... Yes, there was the theater. Much gets made of radio drama, but if you dig deep, there's all kinds of crazy stuff too. Hybrids of various forms, lots of stuff being tried. And this was not at the margins. These weren't small-time operations. This was like national radio networks we're talking about, who were trying all kinds of wild stuff. It's almost hard to believe. Because, you know, you think of this. Think of TV. Think for a second about TV while I take a swig of my iced tea. Thank you. about television. Think about how, for lack of a better word, lame it seems in its early days. Back when it was all live and everything sort of blended into the next commercial, but the commercials were kind of part of the actual show, and the sitcoms, they were not perhaps at your grade level. You know, they were a little bit below the kind of narratives you have been primed to process. Yeah, I'm putting it lightly, and a lot of people would say shows were dumb back in those days. And okay, fair enough. But it leads one to wonder, if in the early days of TV, in the mid-20th century, programs weren't very smart, not very daring, pretty much just the simplest stuff in the most palatable possible, at the most palatable possible level, why then was radio so much more interesting, so much more daring with its form? Because form, you know, that's the most interesting part of art, is form, in my opinion. And the best art messes with form and tries new things with form, and radio did that in, they say, the 30s, 40s, 50s. That wasn't the dawn of radio, absolutely, but it was around the same time as we were gearing up for TV, and then when TV came along, you know, radio was still doing its thing until the widely recognized death of old-time radio, which was 1962. That was when the final episode of the drama Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, ended, and also the sort of super venerable show Suspense. That was considered the end of radio's experimentation, or the era in which that was mainstream. You know, that happened, and then it was kind of all over. And then TV, of course, now is having its alleged renaissance, doing all kinds of things. So it just makes you wonder, why the difference in those media, you know? If you have any answers, feel free to give us a call at 805-893-2424. The KCSB studio line, that is. Add your voice to the sonic collage we're building here on Conceptual Radio, because, of course, we are 100% live. This is being produced as you're hearing it, you know. There's nothing pre-recorded this time around. So you can call in 805-893-2424. Give us your view on the medium of radio. What do you think's possible in it? What do you want to hear it do? What have you liked to hear it do? Or what do you think has made it so arid these days? Or you can send us an email while on the air. It's Colin, C-O-L-I-N. No, that's the wrong email address. Colin J. Marshall, ColinJMarshall, @gmail.com. This is Conceptual Radio. I'm Colin Marshall. It's KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, the only place around here Conceptual Radio is possible. And I can guarantee you that. I've always thought the combination of music and voice was just super effective. And, you know, I don't even have to say I think that, because I think scientifically that's been proven in like 10 different ways. I think that's why This American Life adopted it, and why they use it and have used it so heavily for the last 15 years. That's really, if you think about it, their bread and butter, isn't it? Combining music and voice. It's almost like... it's like it makes the whole thing a piece of music itself. And now that I think about it, maybe This American Life is the best known form of audio collage. You know, it's not necessarily a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because really, This American Life is more of a radio documentary. The episodes are about a certain subject. They combine voice, interviews, narration, some music, like a soundtrack in a documentary film, sound effects, occasional recordings of events pertaining to the subject that happened before. So there's a bit of a formal similarity with the audio collage, but in this sort of elaborate game I'm playing of defining audio collage, I don't know that This American Life quite fits. Because while I like that show, and I find it to be a very fascinating, you know, a great example, an oasis of interestingness on radio, something tells me that it's holding a little bit back. Could be slightly more adventurous with the way it does things. Could be more than just a documentary. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you follow it all? If you don't, let me know. 805-893-2424. But I'll develop this idea a bit further by saying, This American Life is a narrative. Of course, you know that. That's obvious. But I will throw this one out here. Going to give you a few beats to think about it, because it's heavy. But narrative, I think. Narrative is the main issue, the main problem, the main force holding back a lot of art. Especially a lot of radio art. Think about that. Narrative may be causing problems. Do you think it is? Do you think it isn't? ColinJMarshall@gmail.com, and I will address your concerns, or 805-893-2424. Might say narrative, though, and that's... hey, hold on a second. I've heard that old-time radio stuff. It's all very much tied into narrative. You know, they're all pretty heavy stories. We heard a little bit of Andrew Carnegie's story just now. That was about as storied up a production as you could probably hope for. And I agree. I agree totally. You know, that's maybe one of the main failings in old-time radio, is that it is very, very narrative-centric, you know, but that only speaks to how things have become lately in radio, doesn't it? That even that would look really, really adventurous. But here's what I mean more about narrative, that if you take a This American Life as a form of audio collage, which I would say certainly it qualifies on many levels, except for the fact that it is constrained quite a bit by the fact that you can tell it's one of those organizations where people getting started making productions for it are always told, look, if you're deciding whether to include or exclude something, you're going to decide based on if it serves the story, you know, if it pushes the story forward. Does this or does this not advance the story? And I know that brings to mind a lot of bad screenwriting classes maybe you've taken. Maybe you've picked up a few books that are like, you know, screenwriting for those barely able to feed themselves. And it always talks about that. It's like, well, you know, you want to write a screenplay that's really going to sell in Hollywood? Story, 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 story. You know, ad nauseum. There's a fellow named Robert McKee who was fairly well known for that. And it does become a bit of a problem because that tends to result in the kind of screenplays that make the Hollywood blockbusters that you go to and you watch and you sit there and you follow it and you want to know what happens next. But you find that, at least don't you find, that when the credits roll, you have forgotten completely what just happened. You're not sure where you've been. You don't know why you spent that time there. You remember maybe a guy fell off something about an explosion as well. Yeah, that's what a lot of, you know, not even action movies. You know, you can take your standard dramas or romantic comedies, apply the same thing. You know, there was a guy and a girl. I think someone was cheating on someone else. And I think there was some intrigue. Maybe someone got slapped. And yeah, it's, you don't get left with many images in your head. You don't get left with much in the way of aesthetics or much in the way of, oh, wow, that was a very cool form that was in. It always ends up just being a vague feeling of emptiness, like you've eaten a bag of Doritos. I don't know. That maybe I'm just speaking to my own psychodrama. Perhaps you've had the problem. You can let me know. ColinJMarshall@gmail.com or 805-893-2424, the official KCSB studio line. 805-893-2424.
Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the defrosted refrigerator murder clue. The scene is the kitchen of a large home, and standing before an electric refrigerator, we see a charming young woman, obviously quite out of her element in a kitchen, her costly frock protected only by a small apron. She is Marcia Winters, wife of the wealthy banker Arnold Winters. And as she opens the refrigerator door, we hear her say to herself,
"Oh, another kitchen job that I hate. This refrigerator needs defrosting again." How my friends would laugh, seeing me, of all people, the glamorous young wife of old moneybags Arnold Winters, doing kitchen work.
Hello, caller. I think we have a caller, but for some reason, maybe they can't hear me. Hello, caller?
Yes.
Oh, you're on the air on Conceptual Radio?
Oh, I'm on the air, good. I was born in 1943, and I grew up on narrative radio.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff.
Oh, yes, I agree. I like the old stuff, but I've never heard too much of it in a new sense, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think you're talking about... what is the radio program used for mentioning telling personal stories?
Yes, This American Life.
This American Life. That comes the closest to it, but it's too produced for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's there's a very, well, I don't know. You tell me, what is it you find very produced about it?
I think it's the manner of questioning and perhaps the host's tone of voice that puts me off.
Oh, I see. Yeah, there is a pretty distinct difference between the two. When you think about the old stuff and you think about This American Life, I would like to see what the production techniques of today could do with kind of the way they used to do it before. You know what I mean?
Yes, right. there's a fellow in Santa Barbara, Michael Katz.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
And he has a program called Cat's Pajamas, and he has recordings of people telling stories for children, and they're quite wonderful.
That sounds intriguing. That's kind of the storytelling in the 21st century.
Yes, right. Yeah, his program on Saturday morning on KCBX Radio is San Luis Obispo.
Well, cool. Thanks for giving a call to Conceptual Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you.
He says, "Hello. Hello. Is this the police? My wife's been murdered. I just found her.
Do you hear me? She's been murdered.
Hold on. I'll switch you to the Homicide Bureau.
All right, but hurry.
Hello, Inspector Thorne of Homicide speaking.
This is Arnold Winters. My wife, Marcia, has been murdered.
I'll be out instantly.
The address is...
If you're Arnold Winters, the banker, I know your address already.
Ring the bell, Sergeant Muggan.
Okay, Inspector Thorne.
Come in. Come in. I'm Arnold Winters. I suppose you're Inspector Thorne.
Yes, and this is Sergeant Muggan.
Good afternoon, sir.
You said on the phone you found your wife murdered. When was that?
When I came home from work just 10 minutes ago, Inspector Thorne.
That would be 2:45. Do you always get home this early, Mr. Winters?
What? Oh, no, Inspector Thorne, but... today, I thought I'd surprise my wife, Marcia.
I see.
I came in the house and called to her, and when she didn't answer, I went out to the kitchen. She was there, lying right in front of the refrigerator, the kitchen knife sticking in her back. It was horrible. Horrible.
Which way is the kitchen?
It's right through here, down this hall.
Wait here in the living room, please, Mr. Winters. Sergeant Muggan and I will go there.
Of course, Inspector Thorne.
Here we are, Muggan. This is the kitchen.
Boy, look at that kitchen knife in her.
Send the knife to the lab for a fingerprint check immediately.
Right. Say, look at this water by the refrigerator, Chief.
Yeah, it's interesting. The murdered woman must have been in the process of defrosting her refrigerator when she was stabbed. Muggan, does she look like the type of woman to enjoy working in the kitchen?
Not by a long shot.
That expensive dress she's wearing is certainly not meant for kitchen.
You've tuned in, accidentally or deliberately, to Conceptual Radio on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. And I don't think you could do Conceptual Radio anywhere else. You know, I say accidentally or deliberately, but I find it hard to imagine how you could deliberately tune in to Conceptual Radio because it's a show that only pops up when you least expect it. It cannot be predicted because I do this show only when I'm subbing, only sometimes even then. It is as rare as the most collectible fungus. That just comes off the top of my head. I'm sure there are fungus collectors, and I'm sure there's certain rarities, certain golden chalices of the fungus kingdom they collect, but I don't know how far I can extend that, because how well as a listener can you relate to tales of fungus collectors and their personal goals. We've heard much on Conceptual Radio today so far, and yet it's only 5:30, 1 hour more of conceptuality to go. A little more old-time radio for you. Came from Inspector Thorne, a lesser-known detective show. You know, there were a lot of very famous old-time radio detectives. I mentioned Johnny Dollar, the guy who went down with the ship, as far as old-time radio is concerned. But that, you know, I think Inspector Thorne held his own. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, by the way. That was from an episode called The Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Case for what I can only assume are to you now obvious reasons based on the scrap you heard. We also heard a little bit of a call from one Conceptual Radio listener who has quite an interest in narrative radio of the old-time variety. We've been talking today about, or rather, I'll be honest, I've been doing a lot of talking about radio art and where narrative has a place in it and where narrative had one before and if and where it has one today, and is it holding us back? Do we not have enough of it, maybe? You know, I'll throw that one out there. Possibly, you know. I could be persuaded that way. Was it good before? Is it less good now? These are stumpers. If you wanted to call in and comment on this, of course, the studio line is 805-893-2424. Once again, 805-893-2424. Here's something about narrative to chew on a bit. We heard a couple pieces of old-time radio narratives decontextualized, just clips of them, just pieces lifted out of them. Not the whole thing, not the middle necessarily, part of the middle, not the end, some of the beginning. And I find that makes them even more interesting in my own personal experience. And that doesn't just go with old-time radio. It goes with almost any form of simple sort of narrative. You know, if you're reading Ulysses, you don't need to complicate it. You can just start from the beginning, go to the end. But if you have, and this is a secret trick, so don't go telling anybody about it, but let's say you're stuck at some B&B somewhere, you know, one of these places, you're staying in a room, maybe you're snowed in for a day, maybe something's keeping you in there, maybe you can't sleep, so you have to rely on, the front desk DVD selection for your entertainment. You know, some of these places have that. They have a certain number of, they just kind of a stack of DVDs that you can check out. The dorms here on the UCSB campus have that too. You know, when I was a student, they did that. I assume they still do. Although, your kids with your internets, you can just download them now. Anyway, I do not condone illegal downloading. And by do not condone, I mean I can't figure out how to do it. But in any case, you can take out these DVDs from the dorm front desk or from the B&B front desk, and let's say you're in a situation where you're stuck with them as your only entertainment. Meditate on that one for a second. You go down and you see these DVDs. You see, they've got Must Love Dogs. They've got Hard Rain with Morgan Freeman. They've got Chain Reaction with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman. Oh, geez, they've got Broken Arrow. It's very heavy on the mid-90s action movies. They've got, Congo, huh. Interesting, didn't know they've put Congo out on DVD. And you flip through and you're seeing a very dire selection. None of the movies are better than the ones I just mentioned. Any of the other ones are worse. What do you do? Ponder that for a moment. What do you do? Do you have your answers? If you do have an answer, send me an email with it. colinjmarshall@gmail.com. I do want to hear, because I have my own way. I'll tell you the way I found out of this problem. So you have this stack of terrible movies. You have Hard Rain. You have your Chain Reaction. You have your Kangaroo Jack. You can watch any of them. You're not going to go to sleep. You've got insomnia. You're stuck inside. No one to talk to. No solitaire to play. Can't even play Windows Solitaire because your laptop battery is dead. You're going to have to watch one of these movies that they're your only entertainment. They're on DVD, though. So here's my solution. And this kind of works even if they're on VHS. Doesn't work if they're pay-per-view, so I don't know what you do in that scenario. But I take one of these movies and I look at it. I think here is a simplistic narrative, the kind we've been talking about. Too simplistic to be a truly fascinating art experience. What do you do with it? You can just watch it straight, but I mean, you're gonna think to yourself, you know, I'm not immortal. I can't spend my precious time on this earth watching Hard Rain straight through. And so, here's what I do. Easiest way first. Start at the middle. Watch the second half. And that's going to be intriguing because there's going to be information missing. You're going to try to piece it together. You won't know exactly who's who. You won't know exactly what's what. You won't know exactly why is why. You'll be trying to figure it out. It's not exactly a puzzle, but it's going to create a lot of interesting associations in your mind as you do it, because you'll be watching this part two of the movie, and then the credits roll. Immediately go to part one, watch the first half, and then you will, of course, have, you know, some sort of satisfaction of having the quote-unquote mystery solved as far as why all that stuff was happening in the second half, although given the nature of some of these movies, you'll probably figure that out anyway. But it'll do the sort of decontextualization I was talking about earlier. It'll do that function for you, and it'll give you a much more interesting way of viewing something that otherwise would have just been essentially nothing, a narrative that wouldn't be worth your time. Quite frankly, just view it out of order, and that way your brain gets going a little bit more. You have a more fascinating art experience, and it doesn't have to be just the whole second half, first half way. No. You can watch the scenes, if it's a DVD, you can maybe program it to play in a certain order. You can play, you know, scene 5, 7, 30, 1, 21, 12, and just eventually, you know, it's labor intensive, but eventually get the whole movie done. This is kind of a fascinating thing that I've yet to try, because I haven't seen the function, but maybe there's a random scene shuffle mode where it'll just play them randomly and you will eventually get to the end, but not in any order you could have predicted for yourself. And if you don't know what order they're coming in, it creates something engagingly kaleidoscopic out of a movie you otherwise wouldn't have looked twice at if you walked by the poster on the street.